for the special word of welcome then this morning to Mr. and Mrs. Fleming, who are missionaries over in Ukraine. We've been delighted to have made contact with them recently, and although our friendship is brief, it has nevertheless been most encouraging. Now we do pray that the Lord will bless them as they continue to labour and in God's will do what the Lord has called them to do as they serve even Ukrainians for Christ at this time. Our brother will come in a moment or two to bring a report and also to bring a word of testimony as well. I am delighted to say as a congregation, throughout, well, up until last Sunday, there was an amount of over £1,300 has been brought in, and the items for the refugees crossing into neighbouring countries has been gathered, and it's away on Monday past. So thank you sincerely to everyone who has contributed in whatever way you've been able to do so. We do pray that the Lord would take these gifts and he would use them for his glory. It's good to pray over these things, to pray for your tithes, to pray for your offerings, that God will take them and use them in the fullest ability, and that the Lord would even bring souls to Christ through these acts of charity, which they most definitely are. Now, I was lifting the pulpit there because this is the height I usually have it. I thought our brother Donald Fleming was a shorter man. When he came through the door, I realized he's not short at all. He's actually taller than me. So that's been more suitable for him as well, for good posture and the rest of it. I also misinformed you. I told you that they had been in Ukraine for about 25 years. Now, I did look at them and I thought, they're far too young looking to be 25 years over in Ukraine. And I was wrong. It's just over 20 years. But we're glad to have both of them here today. We pray the Lord encourage you. So Donald, come on ahead. We'll hand over to you now, brother. So you can hand back to me once you're done. Okay, sir. You're very welcome, brother. God bless you.
All right. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Mr. Brown, I want to thank him and the fellowship for allowing us to come along this morning and to give you a report on what's happening in Ukraine. Jacqueline and I have been serving there for 20 years through the churches in the big city in the northeast called Kharkov. It's being bombed terribly today. We have many different ministries there. We support and work with the believers there through the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Ukrainian church takes a great stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could learn so many things from them. You know, in the past, we've heard people going out to say that they're going to teach them something, but the wise ones will say that they're going to learn something, because we do learn many things from our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine. So it's wonderful to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for trusting us to come along this morning. I just want to start by giving a short word of testimony before I take you here. And it's a verse that you know so well, 2 Corinthians 5, and just that verse 17. And the Word of God tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." I'm sure you can tell by now that I'm not a Larne man or a Northern Irish man. I was born just outside Glasgow. I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family over there and went through all the usual traditions of the Roman Catholic Church, left home before just about 18 years of age, joined the army, and guess where they sent me? That's how I came to be here. Came over here with the army, very ungodly man, very far from God, had no interest in the things of God. Left the army and joined the RUC. And for the next 24 years, I would be in the RUC. For 18 of those years, looked after Mr. Paisley and his family. So we got to know that the Paisley family very, very well. He didn't realize then that it was a Roman Catholic protecting his life. And he had a really good laugh about that whenever he heard about that. But, you know, we were very far from God in those days. And that changed when a young believer came to the police station and immediately he told everyone that he was a born-again Christian. And I remember everyone laughing at him. I laughed at him. And when the laughing stopped, I thought, what is a born-again Christian? But he became a friend of mine. And for the next 2 years, we traveled together to work. And every time we would get into the car or into the police station, he would tell me about his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would tell him what I had been taught through the Catholic Church and through the priest. 2 years later, as I was working with him, these words came back to my mind about being born again. And I said, what does it actually mean to be born again? And he told me what it meant to be born again, that we must realize that we're sinners in the eyes of a holy God. We must believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. It was none other than the Son of God himself. It's not like some teach that he was replaced on the cross. It was our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, who died for our sins on that cross and shed his precious blood. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He told me all of these different things. And he said, if you want to become a born-again Christian, if you want to be a believer, if you want to be saved from your sins, these are the things that you have to acknowledge, that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins and rose again from the dead. That day, I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was 28 years ago. I had never had a Bible before. My friend bought me a new Bible, and I sat down for the first time with the Word of God. That was 28 years ago. And I have to say, I just fell in love with the Word of God. I had never read a Bible before. I didn't know what the Bible was even, because in the Roman Catholic Church, we were never encouraged to get a Bible or to read a Bible, but we just had to listen to the man at the front and take his word for it. But now I had a Bible, and I started reading. And for the next 6 years, I read it 17 hours every day. I just wanted to know, who is this God? Who is he that would love me so much the way that he does? Who is this God that would send his Son into this world to die this terrible, terrible death that he died on the cross? Why would he do this? And I just couldn't stop reading the Word of God. 6 years later, when I eventually lifted my head from the Word of God, my life had been totally transformed, that I was now in Christ, as the Scriptures tell us here. I was no longer in Adam. I was now separated from the world and the things of the world. All of the old friends, all of the old habits, all of the old haunts and places that we used to go, they were all gone. I was now a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, everything was becoming new in my life. I was now going to church. I was now reading the Bible. I now loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I loved everything about God and Christianity. My wife Jacqueline came to faith just a few weeks after me, and my daughter just a few weeks after her. So many things were going on in my life, and then I had to return to Scotland to tell my family that I had become a believer. And it was through going there that my family disowned me. They told me never to come back again because of the stand that I was now taking for Christ. And, you know, I was told that I would be informed if one of my family were dying, which I was. My mother was dying. We went over to speak to her, and thank God for his goodness in her life that he saved her before she passed away. So God has been good, so good in my life. And that's why I can stand here this morning, and Jacqueline also, and we can tell you that we love our Savior. We love the Lord Jesus Christ very, very much. We are not ashamed of him. We are not ashamed of his gospel. And we will do anything for him and to get his word into the hearts of people. I want them to experience what Jacqueline and I have experienced. We want to experience his grace and his love. We want them to experience this. And this is why the Lord has sent us to Ukraine, to reach the people of Ukraine. And what a blessing he has become. I remember the Lord sending Jacqueline and I to Belarus at the start of our ministry and telling us, showing us through the people of Belarus, this is the work that I want you to do. I want you to reach people and help them with the gospel. I want you to help them physically and financially, but most of all, spiritually. He wanted to show his love through us. And I remember coming back from Belarus. I was still in the RUC at that time. And I remember sitting at the doc's house one night, and I said, Lord, you're going to call me out of this job, because the Lord had said to me, come out. And I remember in a flash, my whole life flashed before me when he said, come out of the RUC. And immediately Satan said to me, don't be listening to that. He says, don't be listening to those words. He said, if you leave this job, how are you going to survive? How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to feed your kids and clothe your children? How are you going to do that? Don't be listening to that old talk about leaving your job. You're on a great job with a good salary. And this all flashed before me. Satan had a go immediately. And I said, Lord, I'm coming. I says, I know that if you're calling me, that you'll provide for me. And you know, he's never let us down. And that's over 20 years now. I remember sitting at the dog's house that night with the scriptures open. I said, Lord, who are we? You're calling me out. Who are we? We need to be registered. We need a name. Who are we? And the first page of James, these three words along the top of the page were standing out to me. It just said, faith in action. And I said, Lord, give me another name. I would fail you every day with a name like that. Faith in Action Missions. I said, Lord, could you not give me another name? But every time I tried to change it, they got bigger and bigger. And I said, okay, Lord, Faith in Action Missions. So today we live by faith. We don't talk about money. We don't ask for money. We don't fundraise. We believe that our God will provide absolutely everything that we need to accomplish his work. So now that we were Faith in Action Missions, brothers and sisters, this portion of scripture, it just became so alive to Jacqueline and I that we were now saved. We were in Christ. The Lord had taken us out of the terrible world that I lived in. Not so much Jacqueline, but me. But the two of us were lost in sin. The Lord now took us out of Adam and out of Christ, out of the world, and we were now in Christ. And all of those old things, they were passing away, and everything was becoming new. And you know, whenever I think of some things that become new in our lives, I just want to run over these. I'm not going to speak on them. I just want to run over it. Some things that become new for you and for me, for anyone who's a new creature in Christ. First of all, in conviction, we receive a new vision of God. Do you remember the vision that Isaiah received when he saw the king upon his throne, when he saw the Lord of hosts and the servant crying, holy, holy, holy? The vision that he saw convicted him of his own sinfulness. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. In our conviction, we receive this new vision. We see God in his holiness and ourselves and our sinfulness. In repentance, we receive a new mind about God. From that old ungodly, worldly mind that we used to have, we have a new mind. And as Paul tells us in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That old worldly mind goes and he replaces it with a mind that should be full of Christ, full of the things of God, and full of Christianity and the things that God wants to do for us. In conversion, we receive a new attitude towards God. And when you think of a new attitude, look at the Apostle Paul. The one who called the Lord Jesus Christ an imposter was now calling him Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is what happens to us. These are the things that change whenever we become believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. In regeneration, we receive a new nature from God. He takes away the old, cold, hard, sinful heart that we have, and he replaces it with a heart of flesh. That heart that wanted nothing to do with him, that heart that wanted nothing to do with the church, that wanted nothing to do with the scriptures, that wanted nothing to do with Christianity, he takes it away. We receive a new nature through the new heart that he gives us, a heart of flesh, a heart that loves him, a heart that loves the church, that loves the word of God. And in justification, we receive a new position before God, a new position. We're no longer in Adam. We are now in Christ, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Thank God that we are now in Christ today. That's your standing today. It's just as if we had never sinned. We have been justified by his blood. And thank God for that. In sanctification, we receive a new life from God. Brothers and sisters, we're made holy. We're taken, we're set apart for God and for his work. And in glorification, we receive a new body from God. You know, that's the day we're looking forward to, isn't it? We're looking forward to this new body that we're going to get, where the old sinful life and everything else is going to be gone, and it's going to be gone forever. So in conviction, we receive a new vision of God. In repentance, we receive a new mind about God. In conversion, we receive a new attitude towards God. In regeneration, we receive a new nature from God. And in justification, we receive a new position before God. In sanctification, a new life from God. And in glorification, a new body from God. That's the God that we have. Everything becomes new whenever we come to faith in his own precious Son. I want us to look at the sixth one there. In sanctification, we are sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. Brothers and sisters, have we handed our lives over to him? Yes, we've trusted in him. We believe in him. We follow him. But have we surrendered? Have we surrendered our lives to him? Or is there something that we're holding back from him this morning? Maybe we haven't separated ourselves from the world. Maybe there's a little part of us still there. Are we totally surrendered to Christ? We must be. We have to be. If we believe in him, he said, you cannot be my disciples unless you take up your cross daily and follow after me. We need to be following after Christ. And this is a blessing and a privilege that Jacqueline and I have had for 28 years now. Thank God that he has sent us to Ukraine. Thank God for the brethren and the sisters over there and the stand that they take for Christ. They have been through terrible, terrible persecution in the past. Today, they're still standing strong in Christ. And that's where I want to take you now. I want to take you and I want to show you some of the things that have been happening just over the last day, the last 2 weeks. This was 8 years ago when the war actually started. A lot of people forget that it's been ongoing for 8 years, but the rebels came into the Donbass area of Lugansk and Donetsk, and at that time we were able to go into the area and we were able to minister to the Ukrainian army at that time. We had wonderful opportunities to go to them and to sit down with them on the front line of the war and pray with them and minister the word of God to them. And I remember on one occasion, one little soldier, Ukrainian soldier, sitting crying as we ministered the word of God. And at the end of it, it turned out that he was the only believer there at that time. And he just wanted to thank God for sending us along to minister, he said, just to him. So what a blessing that became. This opened a massive door for Faith in Action to go into the Donbass area and to minister to the people. On the way into Donbass, there's a massive Orthodox church on the left-hand side. But then it was deserted. The Orthodox priests had deserted the church and his people. And as we went into the people, minus 25 degree temperatures, the people were coming out of their flats and their little shacks that they were living in. And we were able to go to them and minister to the people who were hiding and terrified. Many were dying at that time. And that we had a trailer with us full of Bibles, full of gospel literature and food to help them because the shops were closed, the people were hungry, and lots of things were going wrong for them at that time. So we were able to minister to them and preach the gospel. This is just recently. This is a soldier just leaving his young family. And he has to go on to the front line. And this is happening all over Ukraine at the moment where husbands, fathers, grandfathers, sons, even daughters are leaving their families behind to go and defend the country that they love. And this is just in the Donbass area, the opportunity to minister to the people who had never heard the truth of the gospel. Yes, they had heard some sort of gospel, but it wasn't the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was an old perverted gospel through the Orthodox Church. And thank God that we had the truth and we could take the truth to the people and we could share the truth with the people. And it became such a fruitful ministry. This is Pastor Sasha getting the word of God into the hands of the people before we left. Brothers and sisters, it was good that we could feed them physically, but how much greater that we could feed them spiritually. You know, this book contains the words of eternal life. It doesn't keep us alive for a day or two. It can keep us alive with the Lord for eternity. And it was important, and this is what our ministry is about. It's about the word of God. It's about getting the Trinitarian Bible Society and other societies to deliver the Bibles into Ukraine for us. So at the moment, there are many Bibles sitting there. When the war started 8 years ago, this was the response from the church onto their knees in Kharkov Square, 6 o'clock every morning. There can be 1,000 believers at the meeting, or there can be 25. 8 years ago that started, that still carries on today. The believers are still on their knees at 6 in the morning, whether it's plus 25 or minus 25. The believers are on their knees still, and they're crying out to the Lord. The people went to bed one night and tucked their children up in bed. Everything was good for their families in Ukraine. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 weeks past Thursday, everything changed. And brothers and sisters, this is how quickly things can change in our lives. Everything can become new all right. Not only in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense and every other sense. It just takes a dictator like the man over there to start changing people's lives. He's certainly changed Ukraine. People that we love very, very much, their lives are changing. Our hearts are broken. Their brothers and sisters are still standing. They woke up the next morning and this was the scenes that they were faced with. What did they do? Panic? Not a bit. They get back on their knees again in the snow. Minus 10 or minus 15 it was that morning. And they were out there on their knees praying. The Ukrainian army standing watching them, bewildered as to what they were really at. Then they started to sing praises to the Lord, and they encouraged the Ukrainian army through their prayers and through everything else that was going on. Many great things are happening through the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this was normal places that we passed every day. And just to look at them now, it breaks our hearts to see this. But you know, our Lord's in control. Many people have lost their homes. This is a people that have nowhere to live. They're in a subway. They're just piled on top of each other, just trying to keep warm. They've nowhere to go anymore. And this is their home now. And brothers and sisters, things could change for us. This is the believers. This is the house of hope. This is a Christian care home that we built 3 years ago. And now we look at it was for such a time as this. You know, we look after the sick and the elderly in the villages. But today, this is the young ladies out of the church, Pastor Pavel's church, his fellowship. And they come together and they're making beds for the people who have lost everything. Today in the House of Hope, I think there's almost 40 people been brought in on top of the ones who live there. In the Christian school, very close by, there's up to 70 or 80 people have been brought in. And they've been given a refuge. They've been given refuge, a bed. They're being looked after, loved and cared for. They're hearing the gospel preached to them every day. And then in the church, many have been brought in to stay within the church. And then the church families themselves, they're bringing people, 2, 3, 4, 5 people into their little houses. And they have no room for their own families, but they're bringing people in to love them with the goal of winning them for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a house of hope over in Ukraine. Through the large sum of money that we got in, arrived on the day that the war started. Our Lord's timing is so perfect, brothers and sisters. He knows exactly what's going on. And we were able to get a large sum in. And this in turn went into the hands of the churches. We designated it into different areas. Today they bought lots of food. They were able to feed the church. They were able to go to the subways. They were able to go to families who had nothing. And this is the light of the gospel church that we work with also. And this is the believers who receive a portion of those finances. The large bins that they have there, that they're full of food, stew, soup, potatoes. And you can see them going down into the subways. And they're going down to reach the people, the thousands of them. The videos that I have are maybe 10,000 people queuing up, just hungry, just wanting something to eat. And there's the church today. Some believers have left for Poland. Many have stayed. This is what they're doing. They're going into the children's hospitals to feed starving children. They're going into the villages to feed the sick, to feed the elderly, the subways, anywhere that they can help. Our brothers and sisters are very, very active this morning. And because of that, as the gospel is being, as the people are being fed, there's a group over there who are singing. There's a group over there who are preaching the gospel to them. And it's becoming so fruitful that people are terrified that they're turning to God. You know, sometimes God gives their lives a little shake. That whole country's got a little shake. and it's causing many people to come to faith in the Saviour. Children hiding, terrified at what's going on. You know, whenever things like that happen, isn't it heartbreaking when you see children on their knees just crying out to the Lord for his help? But many great things are not only happening there, they're happening here. Because through all of this, it's wonderful to see believers here being united, coming together, praying, supporting the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that when believers can pray, I'm talking about true believers now. I'm not just talking about believing your head. I'm talking about believers who will follow after him. True believers that can really pray. It's good that when we can pray together and that we can unite before the throne of grace for such an occasion as this. This is the ministries that we have been doing for 20 years, going into the sick and the elderly within very poor villages. This little lady has nothing of this world. As you can see, she's no legs, and she had nothing. She just had a filthy old settee that she was lying on. That's all she had, not even a chair. Kitchen was just a disaster. No toilets, no running water, nothing. I said, do you need anything? It was a silly question. She needed everything. But do you know what her answer was? I need to be baptized. She said, I'm a believer. 20 years I've been a believer, but we have no churches. I've never been in a church before, but I follow Christ. She said, I just want to be baptized. She was baptized in an old rusty bath that was lying out the back. Brothers and sisters, she could have asked for a million things. She just wanted to follow Christ and be obedient to him. This is the work that goes on in the villages. We meet many people like that, many sick people. This is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. And we don't believe in taking them from one drug to another drug until they're eventually free. We believe that 4 months intensive Bible study will set anybody free. And this is what's happening here within this center that we go to support them. Many people, that was only a few weeks ago where we were preaching the word here, and this man came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's changing lives. Everything is becoming new. The word of God again, this is us in Kharkov City that's being bombed today, collecting the Bibles that the Trinitarian Bible Society sent over for us. We rejoice when we have the word of God, because everywhere we go, we get the word into people's hands. If they can't read, or if they're like Ludmila here, she's blind, 90 years of age, she can't read, obviously. So we give her a trans world radio with her own SIM cards in them, with solid, good sound Bible teaching and gospel preaching and singing. And she can't read, but she can listen to the word of God. And this really helps them and encourages them. This is a word getting into the hands of the prisoners within the prison system. We just want to get the word of God in everywhere we go. The prison ministry started 25 years ago. We've been working there now nearly 21 years now, supporting the Pastor Victor started this work about 25 years ago. There was one door that used to open now and again. Now many, many prisons have opened the door for the gospel. The authorities have told us, please never stop doing this great work. It's changing people's lives. Many people have been coming to faith. The man's prison, you can have 1,000 men sitting. You can hear a pin drop. They're so respectful of the gospel. You can see them coming forward to repent, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in this new life that we talk about. You can see Pastor Victor in the anorak in the bottom left with the red and the white and the blue. And before he started this, he was at a college and they stabbed him because he was a believer. They wouldn't give him a Christian education. They put him out and they stabbed him. He survived the attack, and the Lord said to him, I'm calling you to the prison service. I want you to go to the prisons and serve me. And the Lord said, what would you do if you met the man who tried to kill you? Could you forgive him? He said, Lord, I don't know. Who was the first man he met? The man who tried to kill him. And Victor says to him, I love you in the name of Jesus Christ. That man came to faith in the Savior very, very soon after that. And this is a ministry within the prisons. Men are being saved. Sorry, that's a little bit dark, but that's about 1,000 women in this prison. And you know, they're being baptized in the prison on an old rusty skip. This is them receiving the word of God. Where we don't have a rusty skip, this is more another women's prison. They're here for horrific crimes, terrible, terrible things. I'll not mention them, what the things that they have done. But you know, there's many becoming believers. This is some of the baptisms. You've probably got one of those baptismal tanks in the garden, by the way. But this is all that they have. This is what the authorities give them. And sometimes they'll just put a little bit of water in and you're sitting on them because we believe in total immersion. So you've got to get them under. And these things are happening in the prisons in Ukraine. And just a few days ago, they were still there ministering to the people, breaking bread with the ones who are saved. So great things are still happening through the teams that are over there even at the moment. And then as we head into the people, that's Pastor Pavel on the right, and we're kneeling down just praying before we start the ministry in the villages. And many think that just says, pray for Ukraine. As we go into the villages, we meet many sad cases. Young man Max, who was lying dying on his own in terrible conditions. We tried to take him to the House of Hope, but he said, no, just leave me alone. And he passed away just a few weeks after that photograph was taken. This is a village meeting in the summer. You go in, you can have maybe 10 people, you can have maybe 50 people coming from the little shacks in the villages. The meeting will last two and a half hours, singing, praising the Lord, testimonies, preaching the gospel. And it's always so fruitful in the villages. And these three women came to faith in the Saviour that day. And this isn't too long ago, so this is very, very fresh. Just recently we went into this village. The lady there is a sister in Christ, and we hold meetings in her home when it's cold. And her husband there would never come to faith in the Saviour. He would always be very faithful in allowing us to come in, but he would never repent. And then we got the call. We were in the village that day. She says, Donald, will you come to the house? He's taken a stroke. And I walked into the house and he started to cry. And I said, are you ready yet? He said, I'm ready now. I said, why did you leave it so long? Brothers and sisters, I believe this. I believe that when we're not listening to God, I believe that when we are not being obedient to him, he'll shake our lives. He'll maybe give us a little shake and something like this can happen. Better to listen. It's easier. Just listen to what the Lord wants us to do. And what does he want us to do? You know what he wants you to do, just as I do. And this man became a believer not too long ago. This was just a couple of weeks ago when we were over. And that lady in the middle, she's a believer. And the man, her son, he's a Muslim. And I said to him that day, what do you work at? He said, I'm a shepherd. I said, it's funny enough. I said, I know a shepherd. I said, and he's a good one. I said, and I'll tell you how good he is. I said, he came into this world and he suffered more than any man has ever suffered. And he laid his life down at the cross, shed his blood and died for our sins. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, he's not only a good shepherd. I said, he's a great shepherd. I said, because he didn't stay dead. I said, he rose from the dead so that we could be saved. I said, where's Muhammad? He said, he's in the grave, he's dead. I said, the Saviour that I serve is alive. I said, he's a great shepherd. I said, he's not only a good shepherd and a great shepherd, I said, but he's a chief shepherd. I said, he's coming again, and he's coming back again to take us all home to glory one day. I said, and if we believe in him and we follow him, brothers and sisters, I don't believe in all this nonsense about pray a little prayer and carry on with your life. That's not salvation. That's not following Christ. But when we repent of our sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, take up our cross and follow him, regardless of the situations in our life, that's salvation. Whenever we follow him, serve him, love him, do his will and not our own will. And what a blessing it was for Sasha to say that day, I must trust in this shepherd. They'd prayed for him for years, but that day, because they heard of the shepherd, the good shepherd, he came to faith. The House of Hope, because we find so many sick and elderly and dying people, we were able to build the House of Hope. And what a blessing this place has become throughout Ukraine. As we bring the people in to care for them and love them, and you know, you'll not be an unbeliever here too long, because the gospel's preached every moment of every day. This is Sasha. We found him 700 kilometres away, lying, dying on his own. Nobody cared for him. We brought him to the House of Hope. This is him now. 95. Every Sunday morning in church, he plays the accordion and he sings his heart out. You want to hear it. It's a blessing. Saved many, many years. He just loves the Lord, even at 95. You know, I think our churches miss out so much because our elderly people really are not involved to a large extent in our fellowships anymore, and they're so wise. They have so many years' experience of following Christ, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. I talked to a sister recently, 83 years of following Christ. Brothers and sisters, what testimonies our elderly folks have got. And we need to be using them. We need to be blessed through their testimonies. Pastor Pavel in the House of Hope, this is our ministry now. This is going back into Kharkov, the city that's being bombed, and rescuing these people, bringing them out of the bombed areas, taking them to the House of Hope. This was the next day, going in for the disabled people, the people who were trapped in flats and could no longer get out. They were trapped. The church went in to rescue them, to get them out of those places that were bombed. And it's freezing cold. They can hear the bombs dropping, because I have the videos. You can hear the bombs dropping. You can hear the shooting. Our brothers and sisters, yeah, they were worried, all right, but it didn't stop them. And they went into the areas, and they rescued many people, and they took them to the House of Hope and on to the Christian school. And that's them there, carrying them, looking after them. And today, these people are truly being blessed. The one lady on the left is Dr. Luba, Pastor Pavel's daughter. He has seven daughters. Every one of them serves the Lord, and they're on fire to do that. Dr. Luba, when we go into the villages, she goes with us, and we allow her to do her job for us. She looks after the physical side of them and examines them and helps them with medicine. Then she passes it over for the spiritual side. So it's a wonderful blessing and a great success. This is an old lady who's totally blind and deaf. She was trapped in the flats during the bombing. And again, Luba and another brother from the church went and rescued her. And today, she's safe. She's sound in the House of Hope. And this is the ones just a few days ago that have been rescued. They're all sitting in the House of Hope, being fed, being cared for, being loved, and just being looked after. So it's such a blessing. And again, you probably wonder, well, what happens to those people who are saved? Baptism. They request baptism. That says veru, believe. They're baptized 80, 85, 90 years of age. They just want to be obedient to Christ. They want to be baptized. And they're going in. There's Natasha, 85 years of age, had a stroke. And going in, it doesn't matter what's wrong with them. When they become believers, they want to be obedient to the call. If they can't walk in, they're carried into the water in their wheelchair. If they can't get carried in, they're carried in their bed. They're baptized. They follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a House of Hope. And then we have the farm ministry, which is right on the Russian border and one of the first places to be attacked 2 weeks ago. This is our brother Pasha and his wife Natasha, two of our full-time workers. Pasha, we met him in prison. He had killed two men. But what a transformation over the years of being saved. Here's a man who is totally surrendered and dedicated to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they live on the Russian border. We can see the Russian border from their home. And through the foreign ministry, today it's being used to great effect, to feed people, to help people. And it's become a blessing. This is the outcome of the farm ministry. There's a goal behind, not just to feed people, but to reach them with the gospel. Through the farm ministry, many people open their homes for the gospel. We go to them and we minister to them. A couple of months ago, here's a fireman repenting and coming to faith in the Savior. He said, "Can I come with you and do this work throughout the rest of the day?" I said, "Of course, but don't be expecting to be sitting there. You'll be taking part, but you'll tell people what Christ has done for you in your life." And what a blessing it was to hear this new brother giving testimony as to what Christ had done for him. Before he left us that day, he said, "Donald, my brother is dying. He's a policeman just like you. Where will you come and speak to him?" And I went into Nikolai that day, and he was lying there. It perked him up a little bit that I was a policeman, and he was able to mention a few words. But I said to him, I said, "Are you ready for heaven?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you want to get ready?" He said, "Yes." And it was a blessing to hear him cry out to the Lord to forgive him and to save him. He went home to be with the Lord just a couple of weeks after that photograph. That was just recently, a couple of weeks ago, before we come home, we met him, Michael. Michael used to work in the Chernobyl nuclear reactor. He worked on the roof, clearing all the radioactive debris from the roof. What a job. How would you like a job like that? That was his job. and look at him today, he's like a ghost, just pure white. He's like a skeleton. He's already lost one leg and the other one's beginning to go. He's lying dying very slowly. He needs your prayers. He's not saved. I talked to him. Such a nice man. He just needs God to give him that grace and help him. We've got the teams going along to him still and ministering to him. Please pray that Michael will be saved. Coming to the end. This is Victor again. In the village, we received a call. This is an unbeliever family. And they say, Donald, will you come to our house because my father's dying? Brothers and sisters, this is what Ukraine's like. Even the ungodly families have this knowledge of God. They have this conviction in their hearts that they're sinners. They know God is there. They know one day they're going to be judged for their sins. And this family were thinking about their father, not about themselves, but about Victor, who had cancer and was lying, dying. And went into him and just says, Victor, do you want to get ready for heaven? He said, I do. I confessed his sins to God. He asked the Lord to forgive him, to save him. And this is the sort of people that we're reaching, that we're winning. Valentin, that was a couple of years ago. He's homeless. He was an architect, a very well-educated man. But overnight, he lost his family. He lost his wife and children. He lost his home. He lost his job. He lost everything. It was a heartbreaking story. And I didn't know what to say to him. I heard that terrible story of his life. And all I could say was, do you know that Jesus loves you? He says, how could anybody love me? He said, look at the state of me. I'm homeless. Look at me. And I said, well, he loved you this much. And I told him all about the cross. He said, if that's what Jesus Christ has done for me, then I want to put my trust in him. He accepted him. The last we heard of Valentine, he had a job and he was attached to a local church. Everything was becoming new. God was changing his life. Brothers and sisters, if we are truly saved here this morning, we're saved to serve. We are. Doesn't matter what you think or what I think. The Word of God tells us that we're saved to serve. And if we're not going to serve him here on earth, we're going to have a terrible time in heaven. Because we're going to serve him day and night in his temple. Better to start getting used to serving him now. The last we heard of Valentin, he was serving. This is the final one that I want to finish with. This is our brother, Peter. Peter was a KGB assassin. We had access to the KGB holding centres to preach the gospel for a good number of years. We would go into them and minister to them, give out Bibles to the KGB guards, work with the young criminals that were there, tell them all about the Saviour. We saw souls being reached and won for Christ. We saw KGB men sitting with scriptures, reading the Bible. This is one man who worked with them. But they turned on him and they tried to kill him. He survived. He became a believer. And we served alongside Peter in one of the hospitals, preaching the gospel to the sick in Lubatyn in Ukraine. His father was sentenced to death by hanging for his faith. This is Ukraine. This is the way it was during the communist days. You weren't allowed to be a believer. They hated Christianity. Children were taken from their families. They were put into orphanages. They hoped to destroy Christianity because they had no one to spread it onto. Their children were taken off them. And the families here would have done anything to get the gospel into their young hearts and minds, to keep Christianity going forward in Ukraine. His father was sent, they were going to sentence to death by hanging, but they changed their mind and they said, we're going to sentence you to 12 years in the Siberian Gulag, the death camp. And they did. And they sent him there. And he said that in one night it became the coldest place on the planet, minus 70 degrees. He said that 2/3 of the prisoners died with the cold. His father survived, was busy digging graves and burying bodies when two KGB guards came to him and said, do you have a good God? He said, I have a great God. He said, this is why I'm here. I have such a great God. He says, hold your hands out and we'll see how good your God is. And he held both of his hands out and they broke both of his hands with an iron bar. And they said, now we'll see how good your God is, because now you can't work, which means you'll not eat, so you'll die quickly. He said the brothers in the camp started to share their very meager rations with them, but they were getting so little it began to affect them all. He said, I knelt down in the snow one day and I just said, Father, take me home. My brothers are suffering because of me. He said, God spoke that day. Well, brothers and sisters, it's good when God speaks, isn't it? It's so good when God speaks to us. This is why we love him. This is why we know he's there. He speaks to us. He changes us. He spoke to him that day. He said, have not I promised thee that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? He said, that day God led him into the forest in the gulag. There was a loaf of bread under a tree. He said, I don't know who put it there. He said, but every so often, he said, the Lord led me there. There was a loaf of bread. I don't know who put it there. But the Lord kept him alive through 12 years as a Christian in a gulag. That's unheard of. Christians don't survive those places. They're the first ones to die terrible deaths. His father survived. He came home. Do you know what the Lord did for him? Household salvation. Not 3, 4, 5, or 6 kids. 17. 17 children. Peter was number 17 to be saved. The one who was so evil. The thought he was beyond salvation nearly. Not with our God. The Lord saved him. And brothers and sisters, God wants to do the same for us. He really does want to do the same for us. But we need to be taking our stand for Christ. We really do. We need to get back to the cross, because this is where these people are. They're at the cross and they don't move because they know what can come upon them. And I believe the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Northern Ireland and in Ukraine, and in the UK, we have lost it. We have lost the way that God intended the church to be. We have moved. The Lord hasn't moved. We have moved. We've now got comedians preaching the gospel. The gospel's being made a mockery in Northern Ireland today, as in many other parts of the UK. I don't see anything funny in the gospel. When I read the scriptures, I read about my Saviour suffering. Suffering terribly. Bleeding. Dying. And we have people preaching the gospel today and making a joke of this. We need to get back to the cross. We really do. We need to get back to that cross, and we need to see, not only read, but we need to see, we nearly have to feel what he went through. And I believe that if we can get back there again and experience in some way in our hearts and in our lives what Christ really did go through for us, we will never miss another prayer meeting. We'll never miss another Bible study. We will love him more. We will serve him more. But brothers and sisters, we have moved. When I go to Ukraine, I see the church here. When I come home, I see us that we have lost so much here in Northern Ireland. Our church, his church, we need to get back to the cross. We need to be taking up our cross. We don't let the weather put us off coming to the prayer meeting anymore. We don't let the weather or the wind or the snow stop us from coming to worship him or to learn about him or to serve him. If we truly love him, nothing is going to stop us from following him and serving him. Brothers and sisters, please pray for the church today in Ukraine. They haven't given up. They continue to serve. Even in the midst of what they're going through. I watched the service this morning, Pastor Pavel's church, almost 300 believers gathered together, singing, worshipping their Saviour, preaching the gospel. There's a war going on outside their door. Where would we be today? We're diving for cover from COVID. What would happen today if real persecution came? I believe that the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ will never be the same in Northern Ireland. There's many Christians not returning to church again. What's going to happen when we are faced with real persecution? Because I believe it's not far away. This world is changing. Northern Ireland's changing. Things are being brought in that's against God. Persecution is not far away. Are we really saved? Have we surrendered our lives? Are we going to take up our cross and follow him when the times get bad here? May God give us the help that we need, because we really need God's help. And we'll never stand for him unless we get back to the cross. We need to be at the cross. We need to be washed in the blood. We need to be sheltered in the blood. We need to be safe and secure in Christ. And let nothing stop you. Don't stop for anything, brothers and sisters. He's made everything new in your life. Look at the life he's given us. And look at the life he's going to give us. In the meantime, for these little part of their years that we're here on this earth, give him everything you've got. Surely he's worth it, isn't it? Is Christ worth it? Of course he is. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Continue to pray. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Why? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it with joy in your heart. Do it with passion in your heart. Why? Because we're doing it unto him. We serve the Lord Christ. May God bless you, and thank you so much.
Amen. That was a tremendous presentation, a word from the Lord. Our Lord and our God, as we have congregated here this morning, truth being told, Lord, in many ways, we are both challenged, but particularly encouraged, Lord, as we see the work that has been going on. Lord, we didn't know about it, and we are thrilled to hear of souls being saved. Even, Lord, in recent weeks, while, Lord, we're praying here at home, and in a real sense, praying blindly, Lord, all we have is the news. Lord, and the news is humanistic. We never hear a news reporter speaking about God or God's sovereignty or souls being saved. And Lord, we miss out on that desperately. We're thankful for this different news report this morning. And Lord, it really is a different perspective. We are thankful, Lord, for what you are doing. And we do pray you would continue to do more. We are conscious that there is still, Lord, all the needs, all the suffering, all the sorrow, all the tragedies, Lord, that break our heart. People melting snow right now just to survive, to get H2O. Lord, we feel for that. And yet, Lord, we pray that in the midst of it all, thou wilt continue to build your kingdom. And that, Lord, even the poorest and the most severely hit, Lord, today will rejoice as they sense the true gift of salvation, some being saved, and Lord, being kept by the hand of God. Lord, while you're blessing Ukraine, Lord, don't pass us by. Let us see souls saved here. Revive the church in the UK. And Lord, be with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen and amen.